right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in verse number 24, we read, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." So he hears and listens, and it's not just in one ear and out the other. We're going to talk about that in a minute more clearly. But it's so much so that he hears what I have to say, he listens to what I have to say, but then it affects the way that he lives. The Bible says here, Jesus says, "I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came." We know about those around here. "And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it," the house, "fell not. For it was founded upon a rock." So the comparison here is of a wise man and someone who builds their house on a solid foundation. Because this person lives in an area, I guess, where the rains come and the winds come, and so you better build your house on a really sure foundation, a solid foundation, or it's not going to be good. But then Jesus says, verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not," both people hear the same thing. I might say to you tonight, as lovingly as I can say, that we have these people in this room tonight. We have the wise, and I hope we don't have too many foolish. But really, the bottom line is, Jesus says, he hears too. He listens too. But it doesn't affect him to the point of doing it. Thank you. Because he doesn't do it. He sat in the same youth conference that the other guy sat at. He sat in the same teen camp. He sat in the same men's meeting. He sat in the same couples conference. He sat in the same marriage retreat. He sat in the same Sunday school class. He heard everything, just like the other people heard everything. One problem, one big problem, is that Jesus says about this man that he doesn't, or this individual, that he doeth them not. So he takes all of this information in, and who are the sayings of who? look what he says, "My sayings." What do we have tonight? We have the Word of God. You don't need to hear from a pastor necessarily. You need to hear from a pastor that's giving you the Word of God. And praise God, we have a Bible. And so we can hear his sayings every day. Now, some people will get up and read their Bible every day. But if it doesn't go, if it's only reading the Bible, and it stops at reading the Bible, it's not all God intended for the Bible to be, is just a book to read. I honestly believe we have a lot of people that just read the Bible and that's it. Now praise God for that. That's not what God wants, where God wants it to stop. Just reading a Bible. That's like saying, "I hear the sayings, but nothing changes, nothing happens." I believe God has so much more for you and for me than just coming to church and sitting in a chair for listening to some guy give a message for 30 minutes on Wednesday, 35 minutes, 40 minutes on Sunday, and then just picking up and going home. There's more to it than that. There has to be. If there's not more to it than that, if there isn't more to it than that, then let's go do something else. But there is more to it than that. It isn't just, "I'm going to come and listen, and I'm going to open my Bible and listen and try to, you know, for a little bit and just check it off that I did that." And
you know, I didn't forsake the assembling of myself this week. Good old me. And I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to say that Jesus here said both of these people heard his sayings. One got it and one didn't. That means it's 50%. You know, one out of two. And by the way, the error wasn't in the sayings. This is perfect. This is infallible. This is preserved. This is all powerful. It's not, the problem is not with the book. Then he said, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Now nobody wants to be called a fool. That's a pretty low thing to call somebody. Like the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I didn't say that. God's word said that. But Jesus says, this man is foolish that he didn't do my sayings. And he compares this man to someone, or this individual to someone who lived in the same community and knew the same type of storms were coming. And so they built their house, though, upon the sand. It was cheaper. Not as much time involved. You know, if you're going to have a walk with God that is fervent and that is on fire and that will help carry you through, it's going to take some effort. You can't just get up and, you know, have a little talk with Jesus. I mean, I like that song, but we're going to just have a little talk with Jesus. No, we got to have sweet hour of prayer. I'm not making fun of that first song. If you didn't know it was a song, don't worry about it. They're both songs, but they both have the second one, those sweet hour of prayer. What I'm saying is we could have cheap, inexpensive house, and we all know what happens to those, right? I remember somewhere over, it's not just Surrey, they're all over the place, but I just remember because I lived in Surrey first when we moved to Canada 22 years ago almost now. And I remember them wrapping these condos in these like netting and things, and I'm thinking, what are they doing? Why are they wrapping around like it's already built? What's going on? The leaky condos. I don't know why I have that terminology in my head. So, you know, I'm not a builder of any kind, of that kind of a builder, but I just remember, man, somebody cut corners. And you know what it ended up doing? It ended up costing a lot of money later on down the road, and there was a lot of pain and grief and suffering. Hey, don't cut corners in the Christian life. Don't cut corners in life. This individual, I envision this individual trying to figure out the cheapest way to get the job done. That's foolish. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes striving. That's the theme of the last Sunday school class, striving. You think about the word striving. There's nothing easy about striving. I think when I hear the word striving, I think of, you know, some pain or some sweat or some whatever. There's some exhaustion. I've been striving. No, we're not doing it on our own. That's not what I'm saying. We have the grace of God that enables us, but we can't be lazy about it and expect the grace of God to carry us through in our laziness. I'm just saying, Jesus said, this man that didn't apply what I said. Rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew. Same thing. Beat upon that house. Boy. And what happened? The house on the sand went splat, as the old junior church song says. Notice this statement. This is so sad, really, when you think about it. I'm not trying to be unkind again. And great was the fall of it. There's nothing graceful. There's nothing pleasant about a life that falls. We're talking about believers. Okay? The Bible says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Praise God that if we fall, by the mercy and grace of God, we can get up. Praise God for that. Let me just say, there's nothing graceful or pleasant about the fall. Jesus said, great was the fall of it. So he's comparing the wise man and the foolish man. There is a fine line between the two men, or women. I'm not picking on just guys tonight, okay? You know what the fine line is? It's one word, obedience. One obeyed his sayings, one did not. That's the difference between here, the wise man, and the foolish man. Two men are employed by the same company. Both need to go from one city to the next. These two men are both given the same amount of money for them to buy their bus ticket and for them to get to where they need to be, and they need to be there on time, and they both have the same amount of money. They both are employed by the same company. The first man goes home and he gets ready. He figures out what he's got to take for the trip. He sets it all aside and he gets there early. The bus leaves at 8. He gets there at 7:30. He buys the ticket. He's ready to go. He gets on the bus and is waiting for the bus to leave. The second man instead goes and buys pizza. Stays up late. Too many anchovies. Too many whatever on the pizza. He oversleeps. He sleeps through his alarm clock because he stayed up too late. He gets there right at 8 o'clock. He has no money left. He bought pizza with it. I mean, it tasted good, but that wasn't what the money was for. His hope and plan was that when he got to the bus stop, when he got to the bus depot, he'd be able to borrow money from his work associate. But it didn't work out. Both were given the same amount of money. Both were given the same instructions. One person followed the instructions. The other one did not. One was wise. One was foolish. Again, it's a simple change from being wise to foolish, or being foolish to wise. It all comes down to, am I going to obey what the sayings of God are? Am I going to obey the sayings of God? The wise man is one of, if not the main topics in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs gives 16 different actions of the wise man. We don't have time to go through 16 tonight, just in case you're wondering. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1, please. Sorry, I'm just skipping over a few things that I don't think are necessary to mention at this moment. Maybe I will later, but I don't feel like the Lord wants me to at this point. The wise man. That's our theme tonight and probably another time. The dictionary definition of the word wise is properly having knowledge, hence having the power of discerning and judging correctly. The Hebrew meaning of the word wise is to be wise in mind, word, or act. Knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. Knowledge in itself is not all that we need. We need understanding. That comes from the Lord. Turn over one. I know I said Proverbs 1. Turn over one page to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, verse 6. Look what it says. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. Has anybody ever seen the mouth of the Lord? No, but you have it in your hand right now. It's God's word. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. There it is. What are some actions of the wise man? Let's flip back over now to chapter 1. Number 1, an action of the wise man, number 1, A wise man listens. Listens. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, the foolish man in Matthew chapter 7 did not listen. He heard, but did not listen. Those are two different words, not only found in our dictionary at a different place. Hearing and listening are two different words, but they also lead to two different places. Just because I can hear you loud and clear does not mean I am listening. And every wife said, amen. Yeah, you may know a man like that in your house. Did you hear what I said? Yes, I heard every word of it. Tell me what I said. And some, if you've been married a little bit longer, you can repeat it back like a parrot. I stand before you guilty. I could even repeat it back. But I wasn't listening. I heard it. I wasn't listening. That's what I mean by opening the Bible up and just getting it all done and getting it all done and getting all done. We're reading it, but are we really taking it in? That's the difference between someone who will be wise when it comes to a time when wisdom is needed, or that may make a foolish decision when the decision is needed. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 10, the Bible says, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, this is a shout out to Brother Kevin. You still have your t-shirt, Brother Kevin? Mine still fits me, although I save it because it actually fits me now. That's why I save it for this stage of my life. Yeah, James 1. James 1:19. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I think many times we need to do less talking and more listening. I mean, it's not wrong that we kind of know what we want to say as someone's talking to us. We're just thinking, if you could just be quiet, then I could tell you something. But I mean, really, is that what they need? Do they need? Because then I'm not really listening. I've already moved on to, okay, I'm going to solve this, so just be quiet and I'm going to solve this. I would never say that, but we can begin to think that. But a wise person listens, because you know what? Just because I'm hearing someone talk to me, I may not really be grasping everything that they're saying. And if I would listen a little bit better, whether it's my wife or my children or the family of God or a friend or a coworker or whatever, wisdom listens. Just listen. That was one of our youth group mottos, or at least for a while anyway. We even had t-shirts made that said, just listen, with James 1:19 on the back. So the actions of a wise man, the wise man listens. Number two, the wise man accepts correction. Accepts correction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 9. Oh, it's difficult to be corrected because we all think we're right all the time. I mean, we do admit we're wrong occasionally, but, you know, that pride that's in us all, and if we don't die to self, it's really hard to be corrected. Even when we kind of realize we are wrong, it's still hard to be corrected. Proverbs 9, verse number 8 says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Wow. That's pretty tough language, isn't it? That means if I'm wise, then I love correction. And I love rebuke. Look at verse 9. "Give instruction to a wise man, and what will he be? Wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Turn over to Proverbs 15. Again, don't lose the illustration of Matthew 7 as we're going through this, because that's kind of the rock that we're building on, is the fact that we all have the same opportunity here tonight. If you're joining us online, thank you so much for joining us here at Anchor Baptist Church. And again, I'm thinking lists of names. Yesterday, we were working through some filing cabinets, and we came across a whole list of names. It was the youth group, a list of names, and then it was all the people that served at Anchor Baptist Church in one way or another from probably a decade ago, at least, if not longer. And while it was, for a while, it was kind of fun to reminisce and think about some, you know, the past and be glad for God's goodness, because God is always good. There was another side of that as I began to glance down through those and seeing name after name after name after name. And unfortunately, some of the people that were on those lists have made some foolish decisions in their life. Now again, praise God for His grace. Praise God for His mercy. And all we have to do is say help, and Jesus' hand is right there. Peter could tell us all about it. So I'm not pushing down, and I'm just saying all of those individuals that from years and years ago were exposed to the same truth. And who am I? I'm not saying I'm anybody. I'm just saying Jesus makes it very clear, if we observe His sayings and we listen to His sayings and we pay attention and we obey them, we're a wise man. Does that mean that difficulties are going to avoid us? No. Difficulties are going to come. Guaranteed. God's grace is sufficient. God's Spirit is with us as believers. He accepts correction. Proverbs. Did I have you turn to Proverbs 15? Verse 31, please. The Word of God says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." A wise individual accepts correction. Proverbs 17:10. Proverbs 17:10. Quite the picture is made here in this verse of Scripture. "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." You think 100 stripes? Wow. But the wise man willingly takes reproof. These are the actions of a wise man. Number one, he listens. Samuel listened. Number two, David accepted correction. Now, it took a year, but he accepted correction. I'd like to read some of this to you before we move on to number three. Turn to 2 Samuel 12, please. 2 Samuel 12. The famous statement that David hears from the prophet Nathan after Nathan gives a little bit of a story. We're not going to read that part tonight. Nathan, in verse 7, Nathan, 2 Samuel 12, 7, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives, and thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore, here it is, hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You've killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You've taken his wife to be thy wife. Hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. I mean, this is correction. I mean, boom. David was the only one at church that day. You ever felt like, man, how did the preacher know exactly what to give me today, whether it was edification or whether it was correction or whether it was whatever? Well, in this case, it was just for David. But sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit works for you, even in a crowd of 75, 100, or whatever. It's like the Holy Spirit says, boom, thou art the woman. Boom, thou art the man. Boom, thou art the, you know. But David was just right there. David said unto Nathan, skip down there, I think. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. David said in Psalm 51:3, it's not here, but this is really David's response to the correction, was in Psalm 51:3 when he said, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge my transgressions. He didn't blame anybody else. He accepted correction. The wise man listens. The wise man accepts correction. Number three, the wise man prepares. The wise man prepares. Turn to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Preparation. A wise man prepares. What does the word prepare mean? It means established. It means set up. It means to be ready. It's why we need time in the Word of God every day, to prepare for going out into the world. It's why we need to spend time every day communicating with the very God of heaven. Think about prayer tonight, that we as sinners saved by grace, because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we can talk to God anytime we want to. We have no idea what's coming in our day. We have no idea what's coming in our week. We have no idea what's coming in our year, but we can prepare. We can store up. We can store up the Word of God. We can hide God's Word in our heart so that someday when tragedy comes and difficulty comes into our life, we can read, great peace have they which love thy law, and we can come into the Word of God and read in Philippians chapter 4 what we're supposed to think on. It's not that we're spending time in the Word of God maybe and putting things in and we'll use it right then in that moment. We might, but we're preparing for a time when we will use it. That's wisdom. It's not that when tragedy comes, I've got to find something. No, we already know something in our heart. We already know what God has proven to us in His Word, and maybe in the life of other believers that we've watched, and they've lived, yes, they've had pain and difficulty, but they too were wise, and they prepared ahead of time. You're saying prepare for tragedy? Yes. Hey, we live in sin-cursed bodies. We live in a sin-cursed world. I'm not thinking about doom and gloom. I'm saying a wise person prepares in summer. When everything's great, like I've told you before, maybe you had this in your family. Man, we had that garden, and at the end of the summer when the crops were coming in, and we were storing them up, we were putting them in the basement. My mom was using that pressure cooker and getting them all ready to go. So that when the bitter Michigan winter came, we had canned green beans. We had frozen corn. We didn't eat the frozen corn, but we cooked it. Heated it up a little bit. That's why the wise person prepares. Ezra. Maybe jot this down. Ezra 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. You see what it's all around? It's all around the Word of God. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to do it. I didn't have you turn there. I've got to keep moving, but definitely jot that reference down. Ezra 7:10. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord and do it. That's wise. And to teach Israel statutes and judgments, Ezra 7:10. Rehoboam did the exact opposite. 2 Chronicles 12, 13 and 14. I'm going to turn over there. 2 Chronicles 12, 13 and 14. A wise man listens. A wise man accepts correction. A wise man prepares. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 12. It's verse 13, pardon me. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 1 and 40 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. One prepared his heart to seek the Lord and do it, Ezra. One prepared his heart to didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. The Bible says of him that he did evil. One did what God wanted him to do. One did not do what God wanted him to do. Again, the fine line between being wise and foolish is one word: obedience. Wise man prepares. You know, it's my prayer for each of us tonight. We would take seriously how important it is to live a life of in the wisdom of God. In case we haven't noticed, things are changing rapidly all over the world, faster than they ever have in my lifetime. I wasn't around for other world wars and things of that nature. But in my lifetime, things have just really changed a lot in the last couple of years in many different ways. God is still on his throne. God is still all-powerful. God is still omniscient. But we need to be the wise men who not only are in church and not only in the Bible, but we're processing it by the power, by the help of the Holy Spirit of God, to where it's not just something that we have up here, but that it makes its way down to here, and then it makes its way out to those whom we influence as well. Coming to church is no guarantee that you will be wise. Reading your Bible is no guarantee that you will be wise. There's been a lot of people that read their Bible that made a lot of foolish choices. You know what? I've made foolish choices in my life. I don't want to make foolish choices. I want to be a man of wisdom. I want to be a wise man. I'm not saying reading the Bible doesn't help. It does. But Jesus said, those that hear my sayings and then do with them. I've attended youth conferences as a teenager and as a sponsor, and literally hundreds, and I sat by hundreds and thousands of teenagers. I'm not being critical of Tina. I'm just saying. I've been to pastors' conferences and workers' conferences and all these for sat around hundreds, thousands of people. Maybe they're all living for God today. I don't know. The difference is not just hearing it. It's taking it and then applying it. It's my goal as your under shepherd. It's my goal as your pastor, as your friend, that you would be a lady and a man and a young person that is wise. Because Satan will take you and take me and put us through the ringer faster than we could figure out what happened. But not if we're men and women of applying and living the book of wisdom. We can be wise.